The Opportunity, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So today I speak to Kalpana Vishnath. She's the co-founder and CEO of SafetyPin, which is a social enterprise using data and tech to support cities in their endeavor to become safer, more inclusive and smarter. A great idea. So in this episode, we talk about how the app works, their plans for the future, working with the government on urban safety. She also gives really cool advice on doing your own social enterprise and being a city girl. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Kalpana. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Hi, Neil.
Please tell me a bit about SafetyPin, please.
Well, SafetyPin is a mobile technology and an app platform, which was devised and began in 2013. Mm-hmm. The idea for the company was based on the work that I had done earlier, as well as my co-founder. So I am a sociologist who's been working on urban safety and gender issues in cities mm-hmm. for many years. And my co-founder was a technology and design in education person. Mm-hmm. And we had been discussing this idea for a long time about how do we sort of make this issue of safety, urban safety, something that is a much broader sort of discussion in society. Mm-hmm. So there is this one tool that I have been using for many years called the safety audit, which is very simply a methodology of assessing public spaces for why they are safe or they're not safe. So people go out, look at a public space, and note down key factors why they feel safe or unsafe there. So we took that paper and pen methodology and transformed it into an app, thereby making it available to anybody anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. both to enter data about how they feel about public spaces, as well as to see all the data that exists. So it became a crowdsourced platform for people across cities to talk about why they feel safe, where they feel safe, and also use that information to make safer decisions about their own lives.
Mm-hmm. So you started this in 2013. What were the early days like?
We started in 2013 and we launched in November. Mm-hmm. We had a very nice launch event and we had a lot of initial support. We actually had a local newspaper, Hindustan Times, support us through some advertising and sending out the information. So initially we had a lot of support. We had some donors who wanted to support our work on this. So in the first year, we actually spread to almost 7 cities in India mm-hmm. through this methodology, both of crowdsourcing, as well as what we do is try and link up with local citizens groups or NGOs mm-hmm. to promote the app a little bit more, to get especially youth in universities and other places to use the app, to give in data, mm-hmm. so that when someone in the city looks at the app, it's already populated with data. So the challenge is actually the first 100 or 200 audits, because when you come onto an app, if there's absolutely no data, mm-hmm. you tend to then go off it. So it's really what we try and do is through partnership, get that first 200-300 data points out there, and then when someone comes on the app and they see that there's data, they want to interact with the data and put in more data. So that has been the process that we generally have been following.
And where does the name come from, just out of interest?
Yeah, that's an interesting one actually. The name has two reasons. One, three actually. The first one is, if you look at the app, each audit that is done appears as a pin. So it was really pinning safety, mm-hmm. Literally. The second is the safety pin, as you know, is a way of putting things together. So if your skirt has ripped, you put a safety pin to make sure that it stays together. So we also saw the safety pin as a metaphor for bringing communities together to work together to make their cities safer. But the third one, which is interesting, in fact, the most interesting, is that in India, and I subsequently found out in many other countries, women carry safety pins when they are in crowded spaces such as buses and trains in order to actually poke men who come too close or try and sexually harass them. So women actually identify with the concept of a safety pin as something linked to their safety even prior to the app.
Mm-hmm. So has this app help, you know, cut down harassment then in cities around the world then?
Okay, so what we, the way that it works is, okay, that's a difficult one to say it directly cuts down harassment, but what we do is we collect a fair amount of data. First is, as I mentioned to you, through the methodology of crowdsourcing and volunteer-based data. We also have another app called Safety Pin Night, which is an app through which we collect nighttime photographs of the city and analyze them on these same parameters of the safety audit. And I forgot to mention, the safety audit measures both infrastructure as well as social usage. So we have 8 parameters, which include things like lighting, the walk path, the presence of security, how close public transport is. But we also measure things like how many people are there on the street, how many women are there on the street, are there eyes on the street, is there natural surveillance. So we use the photographs to actually, we analyze the photographs on the same parameters, thereby supplementing the crowdsourced data, which can sometimes be a bit patchy and not a complete picture, so that we get a much wider, complete picture of the city. We then use this data to work with city governments to improve public spaces. So I can give you a couple of examples. One is in the city of Delhi. We identified 7,843 dark spots in the city in our first round of audits in 2015-16. And we gave this data to the government, to the power department, to the public works department, to the municipalities. And they actually took it quite seriously. And they said they went around and fixed those spots. And now we are in the process. They have requested us to do a second round of mapping of the city to show that they have, in fact, fixed it and how that improves the safety score of the neighborhood. And we plan to then walk around some of those neighborhoods, talk to the women there, talk to the vendors, talk to people and see, has the improvement of light actually had an impact on the way that you use public space in that area? So I think for us, we see it as something very positive when a city government takes this data and responds to it, because that is the process of change that you can eventually, because on her own, a woman can just say, okay, this place is unsafe, I won't go there. But we don't want to restrict the city for women.
So what will this look like in 10 years' time then?
Well, I think in 10 years' time, we anticipate that this app would be available in 100 cities around the world. It would be a standard for women to use. But more than that, we look at two more things that we expect that the app would show success in. One is, of course, as I said, city governments using the data on a regular basis. So we would suggest that every year, because a city is a changing organism, it is not for once and for all. As things change, safety changes. So we believe that this data needs to be collected on a regular basis and the city needs to respond. The third area we think that we can have impact is by our safety score. So based on the safety audits that are done, we generate a safety score based on some weightage and algorithms that we have devised. So if you open the app anywhere in the world, if there is data there, you will get a safety score of that neighborhood. Now, we want to actually get people to start using this safety score. For example, say TripAdvisor. If in addition to giving all the data about the hotel, they start giving our safety score as a measure of safety, because certainly for women travelers, I know that when we go out somewhere, either to a hotel or a restaurant, we would like to know how safe that neighborhood is, not just how good the restaurant is. So we really want to popularize the safety score as a standard that can then be used globally to measure how safe a public place is. So these are really the three areas that we see growth of Safety Pin in the coming years.
Well, let's talk about you then. What's your background? You know, how did you get into this, you know, the social entrepreneurship side of things?
Well, yes, I am a sociologist who has been working on urban and safety and gender issues for the past 15 years. And I've worked, I ran an NGO in Delhi. I've worked on a couple of international projects, and I've really helped many cities around the world, over 10, 12 cities, devise their safe city programs in partnership with the UN Women and UN Habitat. Mm-hmm. So I've really been working in the space of urban safety and urban planning and public spaces and cities. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a technology person at all. So mm-hmm. this is actually a very new space for me in some ways. Mm-hmm. So my co-founder, Ashish Basu, who helped design the app, actually, so it was really a meeting of two very different kind of people, mm-hmm. which came up with a product like SafetyPin, which has actually been quite innovative, because mm-hmm. even after 4 years, there isn't actually another app or a product which does something quite like what we do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think for me, it's been a huge learning curve to be put in a space where I understand some part of it very well, but I'm constantly challenging myself to understand a business, a social entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. a technology, how to reach more people. So it's been a very fascinating journey for me personally.
So what is the state of social entrepreneurship in India at the moment then?
I think it's a very interesting time in India. I mean, I see so many young people going into social entrepreneurship, whether it's on health, whether it's on education, on sanitation, waste management, you know, and of course, certain things like safety, women's rights, children's rights. And I think, I see a definite change in terms of people wanting to take a risk and do something different very early on in their careers. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily settling into something, but actually getting into something very early on. And there is support. There is increasing, I think, VC and other kinds of support who are supporting ideas. Of course, there are some really big startups which are on things like... including things like Ola, which is a competitor to Uber in Delhi, in India, and, you know, Flipkart and others, which are challengers to Amazon globally here in India. But in the social space, I especially find in the area of healthcare, there are some very interesting models of app come technology, online platforms, which are reaching the most needy in areas where, you know, offline and on-ground kind of platforms don't reach. So mm-hmm. I'm actually very positive about the startup space. And being not so young myself, I actually find the enthusiasm and the willingness to take risk of the youth today very promising. And, mm-hmm. and I love interacting with these young entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite social enterprise companies that you admire? Any examples?
Well, there's several of them. There is something, I don't remember the name, but there's someone health. There was one which was delivering vaccines to people in different parts of rural mm. India where mm-hmm. they didn't have them. There's another one called Social Cops, which is really a data organization, which is working now with several city governments on helping them organize and visualize their data. Mm-hmm. So things like that, I find that there are, several of them. I don't actually remember names, but whenever I go, I get surprised with the number of young. There was a very interesting startup which was actually looking at helping women, map menstrual cycles, helping them locate toilets, public toilets that work, you know. So mm-hmm. these are really everyday problems that people have in cities and in countries. And these are small technologies, very simple solutions to things that we may otherwise not think of.
Mm-hmm. If someone wants to do a social enterprise, what advice would you give them?
Being very very new social entrepreneur myself, I think the advice I would give them would be to, I think, have a plan in place, but always be open to your plan not going the way that you expect it to. Be open to completely unexpected ideas, which can sometimes derail you, but can actually take you to places which you never expected to go. So, I mean, really, my journey as an entrepreneur has not gone by any great plan, but it's really just the way things panned out and they happened, and the kind of people who were interested, the kind of people who wanted to partner, I think the flexibility is what I would advocate. And I believe, I think that's the flexibility is what has actually helped SafetyPin reach where it has.
Mm-hmm. So what's actually surprised you most about your entrepreneurial career so far then?
I think, one is the kind of recognition that we've got, you know, mm-hmm. for a young company. We've got several awards. Recently, we were awarded the Global Urban Innovators as one of the 8 in Songdo, Korea, by mm-hmm. the New Cities Foundation. We've been shortlisted as for the Financial Times IFC Transformational Technology Award. Mm-hmm. So things like that. But more than that, I think it's some of the countries which came on board. Like I told you, Bogota. It was one meeting that I went to, mm-hmm. and the Secretary of Women at the meeting heard me. She liked it so much. She approached me. She translated it. She launched it. She invited me. Similarly, in Indonesia, the same thing happened. So, you know, that's what I said. It's just sometimes it's so unexpectedly. I go somewhere, I present something, or I meet someone, even at a social event, mm-hmm. and that leads to a partnership. That leads to a new city adopting it. And I think that has been the surprising element of how across the board, very different kind of stakeholders want to partner with SafetyPin. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Excellent. Ashley, you mentioned crowdsourcing. How do you go about implementing crowdsourcing? Is it easy or is it difficult?
It's very difficult, mm-hmm. because the app space is a very crowded space, and it's very difficult to get people to look at your app. So in a world of Facebook and WhatsApp. So, and we're not a very big company, so we don't have huge marketing budgets. Mm. But again, here we've been lucky. As I mentioned to you right up front, we had this partnership with Hindustan Times, which is one of the most widely read local dailies in India. And they gave us, you know, half-page ads, full-page ads, quarter-page ads for almost 2 months. And that gave us a lot of publicity. Beyond that, we use social media. We link up with other people on social media. We do some on, you know, events. We do a lot of link up with universities, colleges, NGOs around the country, and citizen groups. So really, but I would say social media is our biggest friend here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last few questions then. Do you have any people that you admire?
That's a difficult one, you know, because in a strange sense in my life, I've never actually had a mentor. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that I really look up to. I, of course, like the work that many people do. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I find it very difficult to point out one or two people that I really admire.
Mm-hmm. Any books or blogs you recommend to our listeners?
Well, yes, I think there are some excellent new sort of young blogs and spaces where there's something called Feminism in India. There's something called Blank Noise, which is about retaking public spaces. There is a sort of a blog called Why Loiter, which talks about why women should have the right to hang out in public spaces. There's an interesting Pakistani young group of women called Girls at Dhabas. Dhabas are sort of little tea stalls around the streets in India and Pakistan, where young women go to these places and just hang out. There's another movement called Meet to Sleep, where people go around the city in India, in cities, and lie down in parks and sleep. So I think there are very interesting ways that women and young women are reclaiming public space, you know. And really, this is, of course, sexual harassment and lack of inclusion is a global problem, but there's a peculiar nature to it in the South Asian continent, where public spaces are very much more male dominated. So these efforts to just go out and take public space as a place that I will just occupy public space is, I think, a very, very powerful movement and challenge to the very strong male dominated norms of South Asia.
Mm-hmm. we talked about cities. What are your favorite cities then?
I love Bangkok. It's actually a city I love a lot. I love New York. Doesn't everyone? And I thought Vienna was a very lovely city when I went there and visited it. And
any cities in India?
Indian cities are hard to live in, but I think Delhi is a hard city to live in, but it's a beautiful city. But as a woman, I think in India, Mumbai, I would think is the best city to be in. It gives you the most freedom to move around in. And I have lived in Mumbai for a few years, so I would say I quite love Mumbai also.
Least favorite cities?
I don't like to say that.
No, okay.
I think all cities have something very wonderful in them. I'm a city girl. I've been born and brought up in cities all my life. And I love cities. I'm not one of those people who say, oh, I want to get away and live in a small town or live in the mountains. I actually want to live and die in a big city.
Okay, live and die in a big city. Okay. Actually, you mentioned meat to sleep. I have to talk about this. So people just, sleep wherever they want to sleep in a city. Is that right?
Right. I mean, usually it's in public parks because there is a tradition, especially in winter, in many places, you know, that men sleep in the park in the afternoons. Post-lunch nap or a weekend nap. But it's not something that women can do because of they don't feel safe. So there's been this, it just happened last weekend around the country. There was this sort of movement which women, it was a sort of an online campaign where women just went around, met, slept, took photographs of themselves, put it on social media, and just, you know, made a point to say that, you know, we will claim public spaces for ourselves. It's a very interesting, I think, campaign. It's similar to the Why Loiter campaign. So the idea that, you know, I mean, the idea is that women occupy public space only when they have to. So when they're going somewhere or they're coming back for somewhere or they have a purpose. This is called the tyranny of purpose. And what loitering is that? The idea that you don't have to have a purpose. I mean, one of the best part of the city is its public spaces, is the freedom for just to walk around, to sit in a park, to eat an ice cream, to read a book. And that's the beauty of all great cities in the world, that they have a public life. And I think what women are saying is, we want to be part of that public life as much. And if it's a lack of safety and fear that is preventing us, we are going to deal with that in different ways.
What about the rural areas then? How do you come up with solutions?
Well, I think the rural areas have similar problems, but slightly different, because I think, and why we work specifically in cities, because I think the nature of public, the nature of the public, and the nature of the organization of public space in rural areas is different. So maybe, for example, in Safety Pin, the parameters that we have may have to be slightly modified when we look at a rural space. So I think it's not that it's not an issue, it's not that sexual harassment or public violence or lack of inclusion is not an issue in rural areas, very much so. But I think the dimensions are different because the nature of the public is different. And I think it's equally a problem that needs to be dealt with.
Excellent. Last question then. For people who want more information on Safety Pin, how do they connect?
Well, first of all, it's a free app, and it's called My Safety Pin, and that's SafetiPin. So I would really encourage everyone to download it wherever you are in the world and give us more data. We just love it when people download it and use our data. We have a website and we have an email address there if you want to directly connect with us for any reason. All our material, all our reports are available on our websites, safetypin.com. So we are always looking for partners in cities around the world to work with us, to do projects, to improve the city governments. So really, the more people that download, the more people that contact us, we're happy to work with you.
Kalpana, thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Excellent. Thank you. thanks to Kalpana for coming on the show today. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a written review of the show. Just search for the Indian Startup Show on iTunes, Stitcher and Overcast. We're also on Pocket Cast, Downcast, Instacast, Pocket Kicker and Apple TV. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet @IndianStartupSH, or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. We'll love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.